Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we want to hear from you on today's Basic Gospel program. If you have a Bible question or an issue you're living with and it's kind of driving you mad, well, this is a good opportunity to call and speak directly with us, and we'll guide you into the Word of God for the answer. And we'd love to hear from you right now at 844-322-2742. Wherever you're hearing the program and whenever you hear it, 844-322 is the number to dial, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Hey, Bob, I had to chuckle at your opening. Things that drive us mad. I mean, that's just life, isn't it?
It is.
We're always encountering things that absolutely drive us bonkers in life, and that's why sometimes it's just so difficult to live out who you are as a child of God. All the things that are just coming at you just day in and day out. It's just as the title of that television show, just a million little things.
Million little things.
And these million little things can add up and add up and add up, and pretty soon we're just ready to explode. that's human life, isn't it? That's just what it means to live on planet Earth today. Well, certainly we have some hope and encouragement out of the Word of God in regards to these things.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite passages, and I think a passage that many people find comfort in, is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and it starts in verse 13, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man." Now, here's the rub. Most of us think when we're going through something that we're the only one that, who has ever been through it,
yeah.
The only one who has experienced such things. But that's not the case. There's absolutely nothing new under the sun. The ways of this world, they're boring. The innovators of the ways of this world, Satan and those forces of darkness, they're not very creative.
No.
They just keep coming at us with the same old stuff. They may dress it up a little differently, but at the root, it's the same old stuff, all designed to get our eyes away from Christ, to suppress the truth, to deceive us, to keep us from truly experiencing the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. So they just keep throwing stuff at us and hoping something is going to stick. So if you're going through something right now, know that you're not alone. Know that you're not the only one. Elijah felt like he was the only one following the Lord, and yet God gave him a message. I have hundreds of others who have not bowed the knee. So no, you are not the only one. So that's comforting right there.
Indeed.
I know a lot of times when we have emotional troubles and we're feeling a certain way, we think, gosh, nobody has ever felt that before.
Right.
Well, that's just not the case. We go through common experiences. We share common feelings. This is just life as human beings. So we're going to be bombarded with trials, with tribulations, with temptations. Why? We live in a world. We live in this world that is opposed to the things of God. We live in a world that is under the control of the prince of the power of the air. But God is faithful. Now, here's the comforting part. And this has been our theme this entire week as it relates to our knowledge of God. When we come to Christ, we gain a knowledge of God. We start to learn what He is all about. And so we see in the cross that God is love. He demonstrated that love for us. So that piques our interest, piques our intrigue, and we turn and we say, Lord, I want to find out more. I want to know more about who You are. And God reveals that to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So, and one of the things that He reveals to us is His faithfulness to us. God was faithful to the people of Israel. We see that throughout the Old Testament. That serves as an example for us today that God is going to be faithful to us. And through these trials, through these tribulations, through these temptations that come our way, we learn this about God, that God is faithful. God is faithful to protect us. And here's what he says. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So anytime that you've been in a situation where you've been tempted, where the world is pressing you to conform to its patterns, and we're all experiencing that to some degree or another right. in life. The world is pressuring us to conform, but God says, don't conform to the patterns of this world. Be transformed through the renewing of your mind. Well, that kind of feeds into this passage right here. God is going to provide a way of escape from these trials, from these tribulations, from these temptations that come your way. You may have been tempted in life and you gave into that temptation. Then after you did, you just felt lower than a snake's belly. I mean, that you just felt awful. You felt horrible. You felt guilty. You felt shameful. You felt like you disappointed yourself, that you had disappointed God and all of those sort of things. But if you go back to that, if you kind of look at it from God's perspective, I think you're going to come back and say, well, wait a minute. Here was a way of escape. Here was a way of escape. Yeah. Here was a way of escape. I just chose not to take that open window, not to go through that door to escape the temptation to escape the trial. But it was there. Well, why was it there? Well, simply because God is faithful, and God said that he was going to provide a way of escape.
Right.
So anytime that you're being tempted by the things of this world, being tempted by ungodliness, being tempted by the desires of the flesh, guess what? God is going to provide you a way of escape. Now, here's the issue. Are you willing to keep your eyes open so that you can see it? And then are you going to be courageous enough to walk that path, to follow that way of escape out of that situation of temptation, of trial, and tribulation?
Absolutely.
That takes courage, but God has empowered you with that courage through his Spirit. He's going to provide a way of escape. So by faith, walk through that door, and you will say, thank you, thank you. Thank you.
Walk through that door, Bob Christopher says, and I couldn't agree more. Bob, thanks for those thoughts. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. We'd love for you to call in and be a part of the live broadcast at 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and Canada. Again, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you on Basic Gospel. And friends, we also want to emphasize the importance of your support as we approach the end of the fiscal year on Wednesday, the 30th of this month, now just, 12 or 13 days away. And at Basic Gospel, our hope is to close this fiscal year without carrying over debt for the airtime and other expenses that are incurred during the daily operation. So we ask you to join with us with your gift at the earliest possible moment. Now, Bob, I understand that we have a dollar-for-dollar matching gift challenge.
We do. We have some friends that kind of stepped up to the plate and said, we want to help you meet your overall target by June 30th. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to put a matching gift challenge out there. And they said we will give $20,000 and match any gift dollar for dollar up to $20,000. So that is out there. If you want to double your gift to Basic Gospel, if you want to double the impact of your gift as far as reaching more people, as far as delivering this good news of God's love and grace, this is just a fantastic opportunity for you to choose to give right now. So if you give $100, it's like you giving $200 to Basic Gospel. So don't miss this opportunity. Yeah. That this $20,000 matching gift challenge provides for you. Double your gift, double your impact, so that more and more people can respond to this good news of God's love and grace through faith in Jesus Christ.
And you can join us, friends, now or anytime when you click donate at basicgospel.net. Make your gift and be sure to request your copy of our wonderful resource that we're going to say thanks to you for. It's called Love Is, and it's a wonderful opportunity for you to experience and see how high and deep and wide is the love of God for you. Again, You can make your contribution now or anytime when you click donate at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, we had several calls that came in off hours. Let's swing out to Stockton, California, and see who's on the line right now.
Good afternoon. My name is Lois, and I'm calling from Stockton, California. And I want to know if you can help me with the part of the in Genesis where God says that he'll put enmity between Eve's offspring and, I believe, Satan's offspring. Can you elaborate particularly on Satan? Does that mean Satan has biological children? If you can help me with that, I appreciate it. Thank you much. Bye.
Well, Lois, that's a great question, and certainly there have been theologians and heretical teaching out there that says that when the serpent deceived Eve and beguiled her, that was a reference to sexual sin, that Eve and the serpent came together sexually, and that is the seed of the serpent. Now, the Word of God doesn't teach that. It's not in that text. It's not anywhere to be found. That's just something that somebody has come up with, and they've called this the serpent seed doctrine. But that is not what the Word of God has to say. There is Satan and Satan's band of demons, and they are out to do anything and everything, especially through the Old Testament. They were out to do anything and everything to keep the seed from coming about, from the woman's seed from coming about. And that reference is Jesus Christ. So that's why there was this constant attack upon the nation of Israel. There was this constant attack upon the people of Israel. Anything and everything they did to try to wipe the nation of Israel off the face of this earth to keep the seed from coming about. So God has protected the bloodline so that Jesus would come into the world, and that's kind of the story of the Old Testament. We see God's hand of protection on them time and time and time and time again. And what he said was that the seed would come. It would come through through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David. And that's exactly what happened. Why? Because that was God's plan. And regardless of the attempts by Satan and his band of demons to keep that from happening, it happened. Jesus Christ was born into this world. He became flesh and blood and dwelt among us. Now, that leaves us kind of scratching our heads, wondering, well, who in the world is the seed of Satan? Well, no, Satan did not have human babies through Eve. Some would say Cain was the first of those children, but that's just not what the Word of God has to say. I think those who belong to Satan are those who rebel against God, those who rebel against the good news of Jesus Christ. We see, for example, in John chapter 8, the religious leaders of the day were having a conversation with Jesus, and Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And they're like, "Well, we've never been enslaved to anyone." And he says, "Anyone who sins is a slave to sin. And if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed." And they just responded to that as if it were hogwash, that it just had no meaning to them whatsoever. So they continued to argue. They continued to cast doubt on Jesus and to question him. And finally, Jesus said, "You are of your father, the devil." And why? Why would he say such a thing? Because they were doing everything in their power to keep Jesus from doing his ministry and to keep people from following him. I mean, they were trying to suppress the truth about Jesus. So they were doing the same work that Satan's been doing all along. And then I think we're going to see this with the beast and the Antichrist and all of that as well. These are people who are operating with the spirit of Antichrist and total rebellion against the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're not children of Satan in a biological sense. They're children of Satan in the fact that they are aligned together in rejecting Jesus and rejecting this gospel of grace that saves.
Lois, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Thanks for reaching out. We hope to hear from you again. Well, again, friends, we have open lines for you at 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. We've got time on the clock and an open line for you right now, Bob.
Well, thanks, Bob. We have a number of people watching us on Facebook and YouTube, and here's a question from a user with the handle, A Little Hope for Everyone. And the question is this: what does walking in the Spirit mean, and do we do that daily through the Holy Spirit? Well, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? That is a fantastic question, and most of the time we judge that by human behavior. We look at what we're doing, and we ask, is that behavior as the result of walking in the Spirit, and those sort of things. And I think we need to take a step back and realize that as children of God, we walk in the Spirit. That's the realm in which we live. We were once in the flesh, and we walked according to the ways and patterns of the flesh. But now we are in the Spirit. So Paul spends a lot of time in Romans chapter 8 drawing that contrast, and he says what we are no longer in the flesh, but we are in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives inside of us. So children of God have the Spirit of God living in them, which means they now are in the Spirit, which means that they now walk in the Spirit. Now, what this is going to look like is simply this. When we're walking in the Spirit, we are trusting the Lord Jesus. We are walking in dependence upon Him. And that dependence, that faith in Him, is going to spell itself out in love toward others. So Paul says that in Galatians 5:6. Here's what matters, really the only thing that counts. It is faith expressing itself in love. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit is to walk by faith in Jesus Christ. That means that you're not walking according to the lies of this world. You're walking according to the truth of the gospel. So walking in the flesh is a life that is driven by the lies and deceitfulness of Satan himself. Walking in the Spirit is to walk according to the truth of the gospel. So we're going to walk by faith in Jesus Christ. That faith in Jesus is going to manifest itself in love toward others. That's the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. These are the things, the qualities of life that we're going to experience as we walk by faith in Jesus. So we walk in the Spirit. That's our realm. That is characterized by faith in Jesus Christ. It's expressed through the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and faithfulness.
And we hope that this is more than just a little hope, don't we, Bob?
Yes, yes, yes,
that's
indeed.
That's a nice handle, I thought. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. We're glad you're with us, everybody. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. And as we've said, it's the end of our fiscal year on June 30th, and we have a dollar-for-dollar matching gift challenge to double the impact of your gift to support the message of grace in Jesus Christ. But we need your help, friends, to make that happen. So please click donate at basicgospel.net. And when you do that, be sure to request your copy of our thank you resource called Love Is. And we want you to have a copy of it, and we also want you to be able to double the impact of your gift with this dollar-for-dollar matching gift challenge that's ongoing until the 30th of this month to help us meet our goal for the end of the year, our end of our fiscal year. Couldn't figure out what we were saying here. End of our fiscal year is what I'm trying to
say. That's right. Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
Okay, on to the phones again. This call also, Bob, came in after hours.
In 1991, I received the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart at elementary school, and then after that, I was received to look for a Bible, and I wondered, is my salvation still secure in Christ Jesus? I bought a Bible, but I was lured away from the Bible twice in a row, and I haven't been able to connect myself to Christ and walk with Him ever since that time. I've struggled to buy a Bible on my own, but it just led me to the flesh, led me to the law of the flesh, and I couldn't not walk in the Spirit. So I was wondering what your answer to that. Thank you very much.
Well, Jim, here's the truth. Once a person is saved, they're saved forever. They're secure in Christ. And it's the cross of Christ that guarantees that. Why? Because the thing that separated us from God was sin. We see this in the garden, that when Adam and Eve chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that was disobedience, that was rebellion toward what God had laid out for them. They sinned and they died spiritually, and that in that death there was this separation of man from God. Now, God has bridged that gap in Jesus Christ, and He did it through the cross. Jesus, through His shed blood, reconciled mankind back to God. He removed sin once and for all so that we could receive everlasting life. So when we believe the gospel, when we believe that Christ died for our sins, when we believe that He was buried, when we believe that He was raised back to life on that third day, and that He ascended into heaven and took up his rightful seat at the right hand of God the Father, when we believe that good news, it says we're saved. And when it says that we're saved, it means that we're made alive together with Christ. We were once dead in trespasses and sins. Jesus took those sins away. He took away the cause of death. And in so doing, He offers us life. And when we receive Him, we receive His life. And His life is an indestructible life. His life has now become our life. And so because of that, our salvation is secure. We are in Jesus' hands, and nobody can snatch us out of Jesus' hands. We're in the Father's hands, and nobody can snatch us out of the Father's hands. We are in a very safe and secure spot in Christ Jesus. So your salvation is secure. Now, Jim, I will say this to you. There are a lot of people who've had an experience, and they walked an aisle. Maybe they prayed a prayer, and, whatever it might be, and they felt like they've checked a box and can go on with life. And what they discover, maybe 6 months later or 10 years later, is that they never really believed the gospel. They believed something, but they never believed the gospel. They thought their prayer was going to save them. They thought walking down the aisle was going to save them. They thought being baptized was going to save them. But none of those things save us. Only Jesus saves us. And only Jesus can make us alive together with Him. So, Jim, maybe you never responded to the gospel, and if that's the case, I would encourage you to respond today to the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and say in your heart, Lord, today I receive You as my life. And when you receive Him as your life, you go from death to life, and that's eternal because of the eternal work of Jesus Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago.
Absolutely. Jim, hope you're listening and hope that's a help to you. And we appreciate hearing from Lois and from A Little Hope, that particular moniker, and from you, Jim. We love hearing from all of you, our listeners. Keep in mind that if you have questions concerning the Christian life or a Bible passage you can't quite understand, you can always call us at 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.